Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. See, all the, what I'm chanting now is our Guru Varga, means the disciplic line. So by their grace, Harinam, the holy name of Krishna, is descending into this world. So in recognition of that, we're invoking their blessings.
Yeah.
That's why. So, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Dham Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai Ganga Devi Jumuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Vishva Varanya Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Vrindaki Jai Seva Vrindaki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Jai Srila Bhakti Vimalavadut Maharaj Ki Jai Srimati Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi Ki Jai Anukul Chandra Prabhu Ki Jai Seva Vrindaki Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sanyas Maram Ki Jai Nitai Go Premanande Krishna. As we were saying last night, Mahaprabhu came to give the highest medicine, the best medicine, to relieve the suffering condition of the people of the age, and it turns out to be something very simple, the holy name of Krishna. And particularly here, the holy name of Krishna combined with the holy name of Srimati Radharani, Hare Krishna. I thought it interesting when I first got exposure to Krishna consciousness that there was a name before Krishna. And I thought that's very, you would expect if they're saying, here's God. But like, why are they putting another name before me? The temple I went was called the Radha Krishna Temple, not just the Krishna Temple. Because, and Hare Krishna. Sometimes Mahaprabhu himself, he's singing, Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Krishna, 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 Pahimam. He likes to do that when he's traveling around and singing. But he's in the mood of Radharani. And we're saying, well, why isn't he mentioning her name in this way? Because he's become like her. So he's relishing singing the name of Krishna. But the devotees, they like Hare Krishna and Radha Krishna because she is the personification of Krishna's inner sweetness expressed outwardly. And as Krishna is the supreme positive, she's the supreme negative. He's the supreme male, she's the supreme female. By her spiritual feminine characteristics and qualities, she's attracting Krishna. So Hare has different meanings. It indicates her clearly. But one, like sometimes Krishna is called Hari, and that has different meanings. One of them means like stealing, thieving. He has pastimes stealing the butter, but also stealing the minds. Mind-stealing beauty is more to the point. But Guru Maharaj points out her name, Hare Krishna, she has the capacity to steal the mind of Krishna. So Krishna, who's beauty personified, ecstasy personified, and all attractive, the name Krishna means like that, magnetic, irresistible magnetic attraction of the heart. She has the capacity to attract him. As his beauty is, to the point of bewildering and heart-swallowing, you lose your mind, she can have that influence on him. So the devotees think, well, he's most attracted to her, it'll be best for us. We invoke her name and blessings, then you get Krishna automatically. And that's the strategy. But Mahaprabhu, something's burning. Oh, okay. It's like that, burning wires. Hare Krishna. So, Guru Maharaj, he has a book called the Prapanna Jivanamritam, where, as I said, in the beginning, you always invoke blessings from the upper world. And one of the slokas there, after his deities, his guru, then Mahaprabhu, he says, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram, Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam, Nityam Nomi Navadipe, Namakirtana Nartanai. So he says, the Guru Rupa means guru form. When Krishna takes the form of guru, he says, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram, he becomes Gauranga. And that means Krishna enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. She's the personification of Krishna consciousness. He's Krishna. You know, like sometimes we have to remember that. He's Krishna, the supreme enjoyer. Then who's the greatest devotee of Krishna, lover of Krishna, is Radharani. So really, what we aspire to, she's the source of all of that. And he's admitting it himself by embracing her position and saying, in my estimation, there's nothing better than this. And his holy name, he said, is like, Guru Maharaj said, sweetness, tasting sweetness and becoming mad is an outcome. So Krishna, because he sees her, when she hears my name, these marvelous ecstatic transformations take place. What is that like? I can only know that if I become like her. And that's the sort of mystery, open, secret mystery of Krishna consciousness. Is in her mood, he's distributing Krishna consciousness to everyone, including the holy name, which, although two syllables, Krishna, is the infinite appearing as if in finite form. Because Krishna, anyone can say that, a child can, it's two syllables, but he's present there. So Rupa Goswami helps us understand this by saying, Namachintamani, Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnakshuddho, Nityamukto, Abhinaton Namanamano. He's saying it's like Sanskrit. They have the word there, they have Sparshamani, means like a gem, a touchstone gem. Touchstone in the West means a stone you scratch gold against to check its quality. That's not what they mean. They mean touchstone like it's transformative. You come in connection with this and you become transformed into your essence, right? Your actual potential, your prospect, everything you've ever dreamed of, and then some. You become transformed into that by coming in connection with this divine substance. So Rupa Goswami is saying the holy name of Krishna is like that. It's not just the sound, not the name of Krishna, but it's Krishna himself. Gurudev like to say, call it the transcendental sound vibration form of the Lord. Right? The transcendental sound vibration form of Krishna. He's fully there. But to realize this and to receive the maximum benefit from it, some cautions are given to us. Like, this is the spiritual path, and here are things to be aware of along the way, or some things to avoid, or be conscious of. And interestingly, it begins with the devotees of Krishna. Saying, who are they? Those who are already accepted, like they already have guru connection from a bona fide Vaishnava guru. We will respect them, revere them. Like that picture that you sent me when Madhusudan Maharaj did the program at your house. See, I would, in my mind, it was like a diverse group of individuals, but all, you know, respecting one another and showing some love and affection on the basis of this mutual pursuit, that kind of thing. And that's why we're saying it's like a family affair. And a family is many different types of individuals, especially in a large family. And what's unifying them is this central love and affection. Our grand guru, Srila Saraswati Thakur, who would sometimes refer to devotees as Krishna-loving people. So we're told, respect, you know, be careful about the Krishna-loving people because Krishna likes them. So if you want to get his favor and move in the direction of Krishna consciousness, you can't ignore the devotees or abuse them or not appreciate them. So we're told that will be very critical because we're back to the original point. This is distributed through the devotees. Who's the greatest devotee of Krishna? Radharani. And everyone else, in a sense, is an extension or a semblance or reflection of her devotion. So to disrespect them is indirectly to disrespect her, and there's no hope of substantial Krishna consciousness without her. And then, like we were talking yesterday about in India, the gods and goddesses, there are so many. They're making more as we speak. You know, so we shouldn't think, oh, Radha and Krishna, they're like, you know, other gods and goddesses. Krishna is the original, right? And he has so many expansions and avatars that we hear of that are considered part of Godhead, the personality of Godhead. But he's Swayam Bhagavan, means the original. And the gods and goddesses whom we shall respect, they're like his local agents in the world in charge of various functions. Like, you know, in a town, there's the mayor in the town, then there's the governor of the state, and then there's the president. So we respect the mayor and the governor, but if the president shows up, their powers are, what's the word, subsumed, they're absorbed in him. So Krishna is the original, we'll hear that, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's not just a, a peripheral point, but it reveals certain things in time, that other forms of divinity, other avatars, they express their appreciation for Krishna. They're also attracted to him. They're his expansions, but they find something compelling about his beauty, charm, and sweetness. So they're like that. Then we find out that Krishna himself, sometimes in the past times, he sees himself in a mirror, and he's saying, who is that beautiful person who now suddenly I feel like Radharani? Who is that? So they're saying, so not only are other gods, Krishna's, they're called Deva, sometimes that word is used, he's called Deva Deva, the God's God. Then within the legitimate avatars of the spiritual world, they're also attracted to Krishna. And then to underscore the point to the extreme, saying, and Krishna is even attracted to Krishna if he catches a glimpse of himself, you know, to prove a point. So, and third, the guru told Acharya Mam Vijaniyat Navamanjayeta Karhachit. Really, it's Krishna. He's descending through the agency of the guru. So even though we see so many human traits, characteristics, we shall ignore that in favor of the subjective aspect and realize Krishna's speaking to me. That's how we shall take it, to develop the maximum faith. Just like when you You go to school, they send the little child to school, and they say, now listen to your teacher very carefully and do everything she says. You know, so why? It doesn't mean that she's perfect in some mundane sense, but if they will give their full belief in the teacher, they will derive the maximum benefit. And after all, it is Krishna dealing with you. To focus on the external aspects, to deny that, we're cautioned against that. Rather the inverse, look at the substantial thing that's coming to you. And then there's so many books we have, and you know that. But Guru Maharaj will tell us something interesting, saying, when they appear as a book, or we could say now in digital media, whatever, he's saying that's a passive representation of active spiritual substance. And this is great for us. So it's something you can look page through or, you know, whatever, scroll through. Really, it's spiritually conscious substance that's descended in this plane. Right? So it's called Omni. That means revealed truth that has descended. So again, if you can see a thread consistently about this, it's ignore the objective aspect and look toward the subjective part where the substance is located. Then, within the scriptures, Hare Krishna, Nandini Devi Dasi, Hare Krishna. Within there, you'll find extraordinary statements, right? Things that are inconceivable. Right? That's where we start, is what is inconceivable. We're dealing with the infinite, and we're the finite, the infinitesimal, complementary aspects of the infinite. But we're here, so we're finite, and it's like, you know, there's an ocean, and we're cupping some ocean. So I've got the ocean in the palms of my hand, so to speak. But the magnitude, the depth, the expansiveness of the ocean is quite another thing. So how to deal with that? Krishna is showing through his pastimes, through the statements of the scriptures. So we will hear things that are beyond the grasp of the mind and the intellect. But as Guru Maharaj said in one of his famous preaching encounters, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, then he's not infinite. So we can rationally, reasonably say, yes, I can't prove these things. And while on the subject of things we can't prove, I can't prove that someone's beautiful, that love is real or it exists, or that a joke was funny. You can't prove any of it. Doesn't mean they're not true. Just you can't prove it through mathematics or some external means. So Krishna, we could say, yes, he's beyond the grasp of the mind and intellect. It's a futile endeavor to try and prove one way or the other. But that said, he should have the capacity to reveal himself. And that, despite or independent of our lack of qualification or skills or mental or intellectual ability or capacity. And that's the beauty, and that's the basis of theistic culture, is that, yeah, I may not be able to realize or prove, but he can make himself known to me, and to follow that theme, that prospect. And we will also hear there the glories of the holy name of Krishna. And we're advised against trying to decipher this back with our mental, intellectual abilities, or, you know, we're going to do a Google search, you know, and realize, no, Krishna's in your heart. And we can say more specifically, Radha and Krishna, and they can reveal themselves to you according to your actual inner necessity. What you not curiosity, you can be curious about so many things, but what your heart's inner hankering is, that's a more substantial subject. Okay? And Krishna, he knows that, and his aspect is Paramatma, the super soul, situated in the heart of every living being. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Like sometimes we wonder, like, does anybody really understand me? Know what am I really communicating? Do they understand my situation, what I've experienced? And sometimes we have an intuitive understanding that there is someone who's been accompanying us always. We have an inner dialogue going on and some awareness of that it's not totally in isolation or in a vacuum. That's the Paramatma or super soul aspect who's been accompanying you lifetime after lifetime. Because what leads up to this moment? It says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. We've been wandering the length and breadth of the universe. And what is the universe besides the astronomical side of things? Is the world of misconception. There's what it is physically, but what's the substance behind the physical aspect? World of misconception. We're going from lower position to the higher position. Sometimes it's compared to a Ferris wheel. You know, you're going up, the samsara, that cycle going, you know, heavenly situation, then into lower situations. And then at a certain point, we're told those who are fortunate, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Krishna, something in your heart leads Krishna to want to connect with you in a real and substantial way. That's what this is about. So what leads up to this moment, in a sense, is lifetimes. There's whatever it was locally in this life, but in the background, the backstory could be millions of lifetimes. So with the accumulation of sukriti, or these kind of spiritual merits, brings one to this point where Krishna brings you in connection with his agent, and the bhakti lata bij means the seed of divine love is planted in the heart, and particularly with this harinam. We will hear in the scriptures also, it'll say, and, you know, how wonderful is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? You know, once chanting the name of Krishna is so powerful and purifying and cleansing that it will free you from more karmic reactions than it's possible to accumulate. So then we will think, well, that's great. And it's saying that's a side effect. That's not its central purpose. But a side effect of the purifying potency of the holy name of Krishna. So on one hand, we shouldn't think that's an exaggeration or hyperbole because the holy name is Krishna himself. And on the other hand, we shouldn't think, well, this is great. That means I can do things that are wrong and then I chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and purify, you know, come back to the perfect and pure position, and so it I become. What's the word? Act irresponsibly in terms of my behavior, right? Not take the responsibility for my activities. So that's to be insincere. We're really one to offer ourselves to Krishna in service, not have him serve us. Use the holy name for some lower purpose that we have. So we're cautioned about that. Then, what else? There's nothing that compares to this. And we touched upon that last night. It's not a lesser thing that's being given to unqualified people. And Guru Maharaj, to help us understand this, said, like when a patient is like a hopeless case, we could say, then they go, all right, now, you know, they open up, they bring out the big needle or with the ultimate, like, medicine. Like, if this doesn't work, nothing will, you know, they give the highest stuff. Before that, they tried some other types of treatment. Now they're bringing, you know, the best and the ultimate thing they have and giving that. And that's what the holy name of Krishna is. It's himself. Anything else would be in a lesser position, actually. And the minimum requirement is faith. And admittedly, our faith is not developed But that's why it's important to keep spiritual associations so that it will grow and develop. The Bhakti Lata beads, that seed, it sprouts, then it turns into a creeper. It needs to be nourished, watered in the form of hearing and chanting and association. So, what it means in its essence is that what we're hearing, we may not fully appreciate or comprehend, but it's resonating in the heart. Hridayena bhinugato yo dharmasta nibodhata. The heart is saying yes. And in this, although there's some formality involved here, really Krishna is saying yes. That connection is being acknowledged. And lastly, Srila Guru Maharaj, he gave an example. He said, some men are rowing a boat in the dead of night. And really, you know, they're sweating. They're putting all their energy into this. And then the sun rises and they see their boat hasn't gone anywhere because it's still moored to the dock. Right? So he said, and the explanation is that it's a reference to attachment. And we all have it. We're acknowledging that. We're not in denial about that. Out front, we're acknowledging it. So what we're being cautioned against is saying, don't let some particular attachment, it can sometimes be something trivial. It doesn't always have to be some major thing. But it's saying, don't let some particular attachment obstruct your spiritual progress. Because then we went, wow, I put so much effort in, why not make it? Because there's something missing or not being followed. Like I would visit the Prabhupada's Ayurvedic doctor in Calcutta, sometimes Shruta Shrava Prabhu Vaishnava Maharaj, we'd go there and he'd give us some advice, like say, eliminate this from your diet, and then you take these, you know, packet number one, you know, you take this with some honey. And I would sometimes, after a while, I'd go, well, this isn't working, you know. And I would question the treatment. But then, as I thought of, reflect upon it more, I thought, yeah, but you're not actually following what he said. You're sort of doing like half of what he said. And now you're saying it doesn't work. So then I thought, oh, I've got an idea. What if I actually follow exactly what he tells me to do and don't modify it after I, you know. And I found when I did that, I went like, oh, it's a miracle. You know, like it worked because I was actually following. And before I was, what do they call that when you pick things?
Selecting.
Yeah, but there's another word, but like that. You know, you're select. Oh, I like this part, but I'm not too keen on that. We have to. We'll hear so many things. Sometimes Prabhupada, when he would talk about this, he said, "You know, there's so much. You would faint. You know, to, like another thing, because we're dealing with the infinite. But then we're told. Then what is the basic principle?" Of all of this, what's it all about? What's the meaning of, you know, the different things we're advised to do? They're summed up in one principle. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That's the program. Not to become rule mongers or, you know, you won't be disqualified. You won't get Krishna consciousness on a technicality. Neither will you be disqualified on a technicality. Krishna is not the Lord of rules. Right? He's the Lord of love, right? And where the free flow of love compensates for our deficiencies. Guru Maharaj describes that as the world where mercy is above justice. He's saying, don't go to the Department of Justice. You may find something unpalatable waiting for you there. He said, rather, where it says mercy, get in line and that... And there you're going to find what you really need. And that's Krishna conception. He's the Lord of love and affection, and that love and affection from Krishna, as expressed through his devotees, will compensate for all our deficiencies. So you're very fortunate to come in connection with the disciple of Srila Gurudev. And we discussed that somewhat yesterday. He is the, you know, personification of love and affection, and really, for him, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, we give this Harinam Maha Mantram to you. Jai Sri Gurudev, Hare Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now put your hands. First you chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. By the mercy of the Panchatattva, this Harinam is descended. Then you see the beads larger on this side, smaller, larger. This, you begin chanting here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Until you reach the end, that's 108. Then this is called Sumeru. This bead you don't count on or cross. So then turn this way. Then you count back in the other direction, another 108. And so I ask you to chant the minimum of four rounds a day. And you know, keep the association of God brothers and God sisters. And fortunately, you have your connection with Srila Gurudev's affectionate disciple, Anukul Chandra Prabhu. And your spiritual name will be Janavi Devi Dasi. And that is, it's another name for the Ganga. And we're talking about Mahaprabhu in the last few days, and he's taking sannyas. So when he is wandering in divine mat, he wants to go to Vrindavan. And he comes to this holy river, and he says, there's only two places where I take shelter. Janani, that means my mother, Mother Sachi, and he says, and Janavi. I'm taking shelter of her. Why? Because she is, as he sings this prayer, Chidananda Bano, Sarananda Shuno, Paraprema Patri, Brahma Dravagatri. Saying she, as their spiritual sound, Brahma, the spirit realized and expressed in sound, she is Krishna Prem, or love of Krishna, in a liquid form. Then he's bathing in Janavi. So the liquid representation of Krishna Prem, we want to enter into the current of that spirit. So Janavi Devi Dasi Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. And take a couple of flowers in your hands. All right. And repeat after me. Say, Etat, Pushpam, Sri, Gurave, Namaha. And then offer the flowers. You know these words? Okay, then what? No, well, I mean, hold that if you can. And repeat after him.
Etat
sarvam
sarvam
shri gurave
shri
gurave namaha
gurave namaha
Hare Krishna Jai Sri Gurudev Hare Krishna. Then bow down. And here Janavi Devi Dasi Ki Jai Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Gurudev.